sometimes we see the Bible is like a library, because there are many different genres of literature that are sort of all tied up together. There are stories, poetry, laws, and letters, but we call all of them the Bible. There are epic stories about our spiritual ancestors, a lot of them in Genesis, that were oral stories handed down from generation to generation around the fire, in homes, in the evenings, or tents. And that's one of the stories that I want to tell you today. These stories are important because they tell us who we are and where we've come from. This season for the Radix Project, you'll be studying stories of surprise in the Bible. Most of these stories are snippets that give you just a piece of the context in the story about a person who is in relationship with God, who is grappling with the history of their ancestors, and who is trying to be present to the people around them. Maybe just like you. We're kicking off this series with a story about Joseph. You'll be studying the end of the story with your small groups, but to understand the end, we have to go all the way back to the beginning. So settle in and let me tell you the story of how Jacob's favorite son, Joseph, was both at the center of the family's deepest wound and at the source of their salvation. You might remember that Jacob and Esau were twins who vied for power and blessing from before the time they were born. Their parents were Isaac and Rebekah. Now, Isaac had been a favorite, longed-for son of his father Abraham, and Isaac had a favorite son too. But Jacob, the younger brother, tricked his father into giving him a blessing that wasn't meant for him. And so maybe it shouldn't be a surprise that when Jacob had 12 sons, he too had a favorite. Now, here's something interesting. Jacob had two wives. His first wife was Leah, who he had been tricked into marrying. See, she was the oldest woman in the family, and Jacob was in love with her younger sister, Rachel. But in that time, the older woman had to be married off first. And so Jacob married Leah so that he could marry Rachel. Rachel's sons were Jacob's favorites. Their names were Joseph and Benjamin. Now, Joseph was a dreamer, and Jacob loved him. He gave him special gifts. The most famous one you've probably heard of before, it was a colorful robe. Joseph's brothers really envied him, and they were super annoyed by his dreaming. While they would work in the fields with the flocks, Joseph would come around and share these ridiculous and impractical visions about his brothers as sheaves of grain or stars in the sky, bowing down to him. Can you imagine working hard labor, never getting more than a grunt or a glance from your father, while favors are heaped upon a brother who not only isn't doing the work, but whose dreams are offensive and arrogant to you? What's worse, Joseph was younger than his brothers, and everyone knew that the older son was to rule the younger, and not the other way around. Of course, that hadn't been the way it turned out with Joseph's father Jacob and his older brother Esau. And it wasn't really the case with Joseph's mother Rachel and her older sister Leah either. Anyway, you can probably see how the tension was building in this family, not only across the generations of favorite sons, but also among these brothers. Things were just not how they were supposed to be. So one afternoon, while the brothers were out shepherding their flocks, they made a plan. One brother wanted to kill Joseph, but another brother, Reuben, suggested that they just leave him in a well. So the brothers grabbed Joseph, they stripped him of his special robe, and they threw him into the well. Then another idea came to them. They could sell their brother and get a profit. Why not? They saw a caravan of traders in the distance, and so one of the brothers flagged them down, and they made the trade. They sold their brother out of the well for 20 pieces of silver. Now, you might know that much later, another person in this family would be stripped and sold off by a bitter follower and friend for 30 pieces of silver. But that's a story for another day. On this day, the brothers were pleased. They hadn't actually killed their brother, and they wouldn't even have to lie about it to their father. They simply dipped that beautiful multicolored robe in blood from a goat or a lamb, and they presented it to him and shrugged their shoulders like, what could have happened? This is terrible. Jacob's grief was immense. The brothers had thought their trouble was over, but really, it was just beginning. They never saw any of the love and favor they craved from their father. His grief consumed him. And when a drought stretched out across their land, initiating a terrible famine, things only got worse for them. They were going to have to seek help in a foreign land, in Egypt. Now, meanwhile, Joseph, pulled from the well, was sold and became the property of a powerful Egyptian named Potiphar, who was an advisor to Pharaoh. And much like Joseph's life at home with his brothers, he seemed to avoid the hard labor of the other slaves and find favor with his master Potiphar as the leader and manager of the household. Unfortunately, Joseph also found favor with Potiphar's wife. And that is how Joseph's life fell apart again. In resisting her advances, he provoked her anger, and so she made up this terrible story about how he had tried to rape her. And Joseph was again stripped of favor and thrown into a dark dungeon. In the dungeon, Joseph waited and wondered if his life would ever amount to anything more than envy, darkness, and despair. But he was not alone in the dungeon. God was with him, and so were some fellow prisoners. He counseled his fellow prisoners when they sought his discernment and wisdom. He would listen to their disturbing dreams, and he would speak God's truth to them. There was one prisoner in particular, a royal cupbearer, who really benefited from what Joseph told him. And when he was freed later and came back into the kingdom of Pharaoh, he remembered Joseph. When the Pharaoh himself began to have strange and terrible dreams, the cupbearer suggested that Pharaoh call for Joseph. Not long after that, Joseph found himself standing before Pharaoh, who described his disturbing dreams about these sickly, bony cows eating healthy ones. And with God's help, Joseph was able to interpret the dreams as visions of a great famine that was coming, and a need to prepare to save the people by storing up food for 7 years. The dream was a warning and a path for salvation for the Egyptian people. Pharaoh was so grateful and so impressed by Joseph's wisdom and discernment that he put Joseph in charge of the efforts to store up food. Pharaoh put a special ring on Joseph's finger and a special robe around his shoulders. So here, for the third time in Joseph's life, he had found favor with those in authority over him and found himself in a special role. What would come of it this time? Joseph did his work well, and when the famines came, not only was there enough for the people of Egypt, there was enough for those from other lands who needed help too. And that's how Joseph's brothers, Leah's sons, found themselves bowing before a powerful man in Egypt, asking for help for their family to survive the famine. What they didn't know was that this man was their younger brother, Joseph, and that he recognized them immediately. It was all coming together now, the special robe, the dream from so long ago, the reason for all of these gifts of discernment and wisdom that had brought Joseph so much hatred, so much pain, and so much power. Now Joseph could finally get the revenge that he deserved for the way his brother's envy had twisted into a deceitful and hateful plot to kill him. But what happened next was a surprise. It was a surprise to Joseph and a surprise to his brothers. And this is where your story begins.